Here we go. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're interviewing Dr. Kevin Koop.
Yes.
Kevin Koop, about dislocations. And so this is something that is kind of close to my heart. As just a couple weeks ago, I was actually with Derek. Yeah, we got Derek Koop from Sweeney. We were working a tournament, and the girl had a dislocated finger. And I was like, man, I can't get it back after about 3 or 4 pulls. So then I was like, you guys just walk down the street to the ER and they'll do it. Because dad was freaking out, we can't just leave her like that. I was like, yeah, you can leave her like that for a little bit. You're about to walk to the hospital. And so I talked to Derek. He was like, yeah, we'll try this. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? And so just learning some of these things to think of to be calm during those emergency situations is going to be really beneficial here. And so we also have Randy Dugas, the district athletic trainer for Pasadena ISD. He was sitting in the session, had a couple great questions. And so Dr. Koop, why don't you give us, I know your lecture in there was pretty short, so you're trying to catch us up, so give us probably like a very shorter version of your short lecture.
A short version. Dislocations are very common, especially the hand and the foot, so you're going to see it as athletic trainers, but there's some basic principles about dislocated joints, if you will. Basically, it's inline traction. No matter which joint's involved, if you can do some very gentle inline traction, be patient, be steady with it. And over time, the joints want to go back into their normal position. So all we're trying to do is restore normal anatomy by gentle, easy, straight inline traction, whether it's the finger, the hand, or the elbow, or the knee. It's inline traction. The other point to remember is you can really do no more harm. We had a lot of good questions in the breakout sessions about, well, neurovascular injuries and fractures, are we going to make things worse? Remember, the injury was done at the time of the injury. We're trying to make it a little bit better. Obviously, there is that situation where some things can go wrong or not go the way we plan. You can never be faulted for at least trying to restore a joint back to its more normal anatomy, normal anatomical position. So the short answer there is always try to reduce it or try to realign the joint or the extremity back into a more normal position. You're not going to do any more damage that's already been done. And the last thing is never ever put yourself in a situation you're not comfortable with. Attempt the reduction techniques that you're comfortable with once or twice, maybe 3 times. If it doesn't work, then you splint it and ship it. You do what you're comfortable with at your level of training. If there's another trainer close by that may know another technique, by all means try it. But always do what you're comfortable with. If it doesn't work, then it's okay. You've attempted it and then move on. The thing to remember about dislocations, though, the quicker you get to them, the easier they are to reduce. And trainers are in a unique position because they're the first ones on the field. They're actually watching the event. They can actually see it happen. They have the best opportunity to reduce the dislocation as quickly and as easily as anybody. It's better than most of the physicians because it takes minutes, if not hours, if not days, for us to see those patients.
All right, so let's start off with the one that I specifically was talking about. A girl dislocated her pinky. So I grabbed her hand and then, just kind of pulled traction on the finger, and it wouldn't go back. So then, I tried it. She was sweaty, so I was slipping a little bit. So I tried again, then I tried putting something over, and then after that, I was like, well, let's just go. And then Derek was like, well, just bend the hand down, and it helps the muscles relax, and then you can do that. So thoughts on that? Is there a tip for, finger dislocations?
Well, relaxation is the key. Whatever it takes to get the patient and you relaxed and comfortable too. Always, I tell the other group, make sure you are in a comfortable situation. If you can do it on the field, remember the lights are flashing, the athletes are hot and sweaty and uncomfortable, and the umpires are running around, the other kids on the other field or the other team, or, oh, look what we did. Put yourself in a situation to succeed or a position of success. And if you need to pull off the field or in a quieter situation, that's fine. But remember, the quicker you do it, the easier it is. In that situation, make sure it's clean and dry and you're able to hold on to it, but it's inline traction and relaxation. If the patient is relaxed, then anytime you can shorten the muscle pull, if you will, when everything's out and strong like that, it's tight. If you just relaxing the wrist flexors, relax them just enough. The other thing is sometimes, when you pull and you pull and you pull, the structures that are not torn, it's called a buttonhole technique or a buttonhole injury. And the bone can actually slide through and get kind of strangulated on the soft tissue. So the harder and harder you pull, the tighter and tighter it gets, the more difficult it is to reduce. And so you're pulling and you're pulling and you're pulling, and then you finally relax and let it go. And then everything relaxes, and then you try it one more time, and then it pops back in, because then it's kind of found itself back through that little buttonhole, if you will.
It,
there's not. You try your reduction techniques. You try it once. You try it twice. I'll try it three times. But after three times, if it's not going in, then something's different or wrong, or we just got to try something different. But you really don't know that. Even on an X-ray, won't show us that. That's a soft tissue injury. It's a clinical diagnosis that you make. You know, I've attempted this. It's called a complex dislocation. Sometimes you can see different changes in the skin. It will look different than a standard dislocation because the skin can actually pucker in because all that soft tissue is getting drawn in. But otherwise, it's very difficult to tell.
You mentioned using a gauze pad in there. That probably would have helped him.
It would have.
Them do routinely, even if they're not sweating.
Absolutely. So. It's a night, because you can wrap the gauze and then actually leave little tails and hold on to the tails of the gauze. You know, especially pinky fingers, they're very small, hard to hold on to, hot and sweaty. Wrap it with gauze. We talked about the ankle dislocations. Leave the shoes on while you're reducing it. Now, you got to get it off at some point, but I actually like to leave the shoe on when I'm reducing it. I can hold on the shoelaces, the counter of the shoe, anything you can to get a grip of that body part that you need to get hold of.
All right, so since we jumped to ankle, tell me, if you suspect an ankle dislocation, what's the first thing you do when you get out there? Do you squeeze on the tibia fibula just to make sure there's not a fracture before you start pulling on it, or can you tell by, I don't know if you do sideline stuff at all.
I do.
You do? Okay. So, where we are, so as athletic trainers, what do I need to do? What are my steps to take?
Well, you obviously, anytime you come up on a dislocation, obviously deformity of the extremity, you want to evaluate it. You know, you want to look at it. Is it open? You know, is there bone sticking out, the tendons, you know, bleeding? If it's an open dislocation or open fracture, obviously you got to cover that, splint that in the positions found, and ship that. As long as the skin is closed, then you want to make sure there is some neurovascular status check. You know, can they wiggle their toes? Are they pink and warm? Are they blue? Are they cyanotic? You know, get some general idea of what's going on. How bad is this? But also realize that, you know, you're coming up on this injury within seconds, and they'll always be a little bit blue and always a bit clammy, if you will. By reducing that ankle, you'll make that better. So you want to make note of the neurovascular status, but I don't let that guide me. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to touch this because I think he's got a nerve injury. No, that's exactly when you want to reduce this, because that will relieve the tension on that nerve. Is it fractured? It may be. Ankle dislocations, there's a high probability that the fibula is broken. But if the ankle is grossly deformed and grossly dislocated, you still want to restore that alignment. Even if there's no dislocation, it's all fracture, maybe it's the medial malleolus and the lateral malleolus broken, it's not dislocated, it's okay to realign that. Even if it's broken, you're not damaging or hurting it, you're improving the alignment.
So if it's broken and you realign it gently with gentle traction, and, you know, like you said, moving it back to where it should be, you're probably not going to cause more damage?
No, you will not cause more damage. You improve the situation and better his outcome. You'll decrease the pain. You'll restore the blood flow to the foot. No, it's a good thing to restore anatomical alignment. You're not trying to reduce the fracture per se. You're just trying to restore anatomic alignment. And whether it's dislocated or broken, that's a good thing. You're not going to do more damage by doing that. You're going to improve the situation.
Yeah, I think the big thing with us is the uncomfortableness of doing it, and the thought of, okay, I'm going to cause more harm than good. So there's no possibility of. Several years ago, I had a young man who was tailback and took off running and got hit, total knee dislocation. I immediately got out there and stabilized him, yelled at my other student trainer, go get the EMTs. Well, I said, all right, you need to roll over. And as he did, I just slightly did some traction. It popped right back in, and my first thought was neurovascular problems. So I cut the foot off. He had a Pes pulse. I'm like, okay. Somebody mentioned, and it was you that mentioned in your talk today about possibility of a blood clot. Is that a big issue? Because I didn't send him to the next morning for Saturday clinic to see our orthopedic.
Well, a true knee dislocation, I would recommend it be sent fairly quickly. But what you did is perfect. You're not going to make the nerve injury or the blood clot possibility worse. You're actually making it better. The reason why those things happen is when a joint is dislocated is that the bone, the soft tissue, something is kinking the vessels, pulling on the nerve, because it's not anatomically aligned. You know, God designed us really, really well. And when we're in this position, you know, when we're aligned, it works really, really well. When we're not, when we're dislocated, when we're broken, things don't work well. So you're not making it worse by any means. You know, I referred to this in the past. Even when we train orthopedic surgeons as residents and interns, the one injury that everybody's always concerned about is the pediatric elbow fracture, because there's a spike of bone there, and we reduce it, and you cut the artery. That the chances of that happening are about, I want to say it's 0.001. So there's a 99.991% chance you're not going to do that. So you're doing good. But that is a comfort level thing as trainers develop, as they mature into their practices, they will become more comfortable with that. Because the first thought, and that's what I kind of want to, my point is some of these talks, but I don't want y'all to think, you know, I'm going to do more harm here. No, I'm going to do more good. You're doing good, and it's very hard to make things worse. The injury was done at the time of the injury. We are making it better. So it's very, very rare to make it worse.
So just practicing reducing, not having to actually, not wanting to have to do it, but as you see these, practicing reducing these is actually can help us get better at and more comfortable at doing these.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, muscle memory. It's just like the athletes, you know, doing it 100 times. If you do it 100 times, you'll walk out there and it'll reduce. I'm also a firm believer in big, and I like, you know, you want your patient to be comfortable, you want the athlete to be comfortable, but you want to be comfortable. Put yourself in a position to succeed. You know, if you need to extract yourself from the environment and the excitement because you're shaking and you're, you know, and the coaches in this year and the parents in this year and the teams in that, you know, get yourself into a situation that you're comfortable, get the patient comfortable, and then you can start thinking about, well, you know, I know how to do this, I've done this. And then go through it. At the heat of the moment is when it gets tough. And then you start, the first thing that comes to your mind are the bad things. You don't want to do that. Think of the good things, and you'll be fine.
All right, so, Randy, you were asking about a patella dislocation?
Yeah, I had a skinny little freshman kid one time, dislocated laterally, which that's the common thing, but the medial part of his patella dug in. It kind of flipped it, called it inverted, doc called it inverted, and it was impossible to reduce. We got his leg pretty straight, so you'd think it would reduce, and then you could actually grab his whole patella. Yes.
Okay. So what happens, that's called a complex dislocation, yeah. And we do see that. So what happened is when that patella, the kneecap, slid over laterally, the medial retinaculum and the medial patellofemoral ligament tore. And so what happened is, so now there's a gap in this tissue, and the patella keeps going. Well, there's a hole there. Normally there's tissue here, so it goes over, and then you just reduce it. Well, when this is torn, there's a hole, and it just fell into the hole. So even when you straightened it, it just stayed in that position. Now, it's still okay to try to, you know, pick it up, but this is where you have to kind of do some mental imagery. You got to think, wait a minute, this is not a standard lateral patella dislocation. There's something going on. I wonder if this buttonhole, and you almost got to close your eyes and you know, become the bone whisperer at some point. And you're pulling it, but that's, I don't know for sure, but I'm almost positive that fell into a buttonhole or a rent in the capsule.
Yeah, it had to, because it and got stuck. To move. Even though you could physically grab the whole patella with your hand, it would not move.
Because what was happening, you were pulling everything up, it had flipped, so you just kept pulling it up and pulling it up, and it, you know, you would have had to almost surgically open it up, pull the tissue out, and then bring the patella back.
So we were grabbing all the tissue, and it was just smudging.
You were grabbing, exactly. Yeah. But you still did no harm by attempting that reduction, putting in a better alignment. It's still a good thing.
So splint as is and send out.
Exactly. Splint it and ship it.
All right, so first time I ever saw that, same thing, she rolls over and straighten the leg out and it goes back. It's pretty normal?
It is. The most, especially for patella dislocations, if you'll just straighten the leg, they'll almost always spontaneously reduce. And we discussed this in our little breakout session. What I like to do is, you know, they're sitting up and the knee is flexed or hyperflexed and they're usually holding it and they're all... So you just, you know, I put my hand on their shoulder and say, relax, let go of your knee, and I'm holding the leg. And as you're pushing them down, just relax and be looking right at them and just straighten their leg. Distract them. And it'll pop right in. They don't even know it.
Any medial pressure on the patella, or you usually just straighten it out?
just straighten the leg out. And 90% of the time, it'll come. Now, if it doesn't, then you can obviously use your thumb and help it a little bit. But if you'll just straighten that knee out, the quadriceps and the patellar tendon are still intact. So by definition, it'll pull itself right back over.
What about if you get one of those dads that you've just done that to and you've recommended, okay, let's ice you down, you're done for the day. Dad says, put him back out there. Re-dislocation is a high possibility at that point, right?
It is. Okay. If that's a first-time dislocator, especially if it's traumatic, they're done. You need to put them in the immobilizer and let that rest. Now, that's usually the big old football player that gets hit, from the outside and it knocks it off. It's a true traumatic patellar dislocation. You're going to have these young girls, I say girls, it can be the guys, but almost always young girls that are hyperflexible, that are just out there on the basketball court and they turn and their kneecap dislocates. And you know that athlete because you've been with them for 2 years and they've done this 16 times.
Yeah.
Then that one, absolutely, just straighten it out, put her in a knee brace. If she wants to play, let her play. Totally different situation than a traumatic dislocation.
The same thing as the same tournament that Jeremy and I were working. I don't know if it was the same day or the next day, or I don't remember what day it was, but I had a girl come to me with a dislocated middle finger, and Dad was standing there. I'm like, popped it back in, buddy. Tape, so you can go play. He goes, she can play? I'm like, yeah, she's fine to play. So letting those parents know that it's not a big deal is – it's okay to go play if they feel like they can.
Because I've heard any time, like with the first time dislocation, you need to send them to get an x-ray, make sure there's not a fracture with the dislocation. So is it okay to let them play and then go get an x-ray tomorrow?
Yes. In my experience, the short answer is yes. Obviously, the patient has to be comfortable with that. The parents have to be comfortable with that. And you guys have the best relationships with these athletes and usually the parents as well. And, you're going to have two sets. You're going to have those that are yeah, and those that are no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But medically, I'm okay with letting them play. Even if they have a little avulsion fracture in the finger, the treatment's buddy taping and early range of motion. If they go out there in the basketball court and they get squished again, can it come out? Sure. Can the other hand dislocate? Sure. So I just explained to the patient, depends on the relationship you have with the parents and the athlete. And, I never like to get too involved in the game. As a medical person, I try to extract myself out of it. But, come on, if it's the playoffs and there's 13 minutes left in the quarter and it's your star quarterback, you're just going to reduce it and he's going to be buddy team. He's going to play. Posterior dislocation is the most common, and it's the olecranon that goes out the back of the humerus. And you can actually put your thumb right on your hand on the bicep, your fingers on the bicep, and your thumb on the back of the olecranon and pull traction. And you can almost just – it's just a kind of a little maneuver like that, and it'll almost always go back in. Elbows and patellas, fingers, they want to go back where they belong, so they're not quite as hard. Shoulder dislocations can be a little more difficult. Shoulders, usually it's more of a muscle spasm problem, so you got to get them in an environment they're comfortable in. I try it once on the field very quickly, and sometimes you just pop it right in. If not, then I take them into the locker room, quiet, turn the lights out if you have to, lay them down, get them comfortable. It's all about muscle relaxation. You still want to do this within 4 or 5 or 6, 7 minutes. Don't lollygag around. Get there. But set yourself up to succeed. Lay them down. Get them to relax. Remember, the easiest spot for a shoulder to dislocate is also the easiest spot to relocate it. So I try to get them into full external rotation, abduction, way, way up here, pulling in line traction. And then you can just, again, with your thumb, just push posteriorly, and it'll almost always go back in. Because that's the at-risk position for dislocation. So that's the best position to put them in to reduce it. So if you just they'll be holding it like this. So I take them and I talk through it. It'll take 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. But you very slowly and gradually get them up into that position. And then I'm pulling pretty good traction. Remember, I'm up there and they're laying down. And just inline traction and then a thumb right there. Sometimes if you get somebody else to pull the traction, then I can put my thumb on it, push it right back in. That's the technique I like to do.
You got to be careful. You got to make sure it's not a fracture.
A humeral fracture. Great point. Especially in a younger patient, especially in a junior high, remember the bones are actually a little bit weaker than the ligaments, so it's almost always a fascial injury. And the shoulder dislocation looks a lot like a proximal humeral fascial. And I've been there. I've done that. I've manipulated a proximal fascial injury. And those, obviously, you know, you don't want to be manipulating fractures that high. Again, I would try it and see. But you'll know clinically. You'll kind of feel the head. You're like, something's not right. And if it's just not acting right, it's not feeling right.
It's goosey too, and a dislocation may not be as...
Exactly. A fracture, that's right, it's actually below the joint, yeah. So it'll be like really floppy, whereas a dislocation, they're kind of fighting you. And that's experience and knowledge, and you know, that's what we just learn over time. And that's why I tell all the trainers, put yourself in a position to succeed. Try it once. If you're thinking, wait a minute, something's not right, this is not right, ask if there's somebody else there, say, hey, take a look. If you're like, wait, you know what, it's not right, put them in a sling and ship it. You can never lose.
So pending that there is no fractured humerus and you've reduced the shoulder, what's your recommendation on returning to play in that game?
First-time dislocators, I hold them out. I've been there several times. It never works. In my experience, I've been doing this for 19 years on the field, and it just does. They'll just be so apprehensive they're going to get hurt. Then they're out there playing with one wing, and they're going to end up getting their bell rung or something else. I take them out. It's not very good for the coach. The coaches get a little upset. But shoulder dislocations, they're usually a labral tear. Yep. I mean, that's an injury. It needs.
You have a favorite shoulder brace?
I use Sully's. I do like those in my post-surgical shoulders and in my recurrent dislocators. I like the old-school leather ones with the leather.
With the laces?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because again, you want to keep them out of the at-risk position, and they do work. I mean, it's amazing. You'll see them out there; it's kind of cool. The players don't like them, but they're actually fairly effective. I've actually reduced a shoulder. You know, we took them out of the game, but put them in a solid and let them play the next game, finish the season, and then I fixed them. Now I'll do that. I'd be very reluctant to let them go back in the same game, but I've got them back within 5 days, six okay. days.
I just ask because some say, yeah, you can brace them and put them back out there if you can keep them out of going that external rotation. But others say, no, absolutely not, because there's probability of labral tears or that kind of thing, and hold them out. I've always held them out. I just wanted your opinion.
No, I would. I've tried it. But they really – those kids will limit themselves. Yeah, a shoulder dislocation – you know, a finger dislocation is one thing. You buddy tape it, and they go out there. They don't even know they're – you know, they're out there running around like crazy. Shoulder dislocations, they'll be – the coaches will pull.
Yeah. It's just too. You don't want them out there in the weeds.
So. Oh, yeah, they can't. All right. Yeah, it's.
All right, any other thoughts, questions on dislocation?
Oh, yeah, one. You mentioned the distraction technique as far as getting the kid to relax. I mean, I do that routinely with a finger. I'll just totally turn my back to the kid and hold their hand like in front of me, and they're behind me.
Yes.
They can't see what I'm doing.
Beautiful.
And so I've already got a good grip on it. I tell them to, you know, take a deep breath, blow it out. And when they blow it out, yeah, perfect. I don't know what's going on. So
right, that goes back to that fact: the quicker you get to them, too, they're a little bit shocked, you know. And that's perfect if you can distract them or keep them focused on something else.
I usually like to ask them, "How'd you do it?" And while they're telling me, it's like, I'm like, go play.
Fingers are perfect because they can run them off the field like this. Yeah. I love it. So I just grab their hand and like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And then as you're, you know, you can actually almost do it one-handed, and then just, and then they're like. It's some neat stuff. It's really fun.
Okay, so where do you do your
on-field? I'm up in the Woodlands. I take care of Oak Ridge High School, Montgomery High School, and then I help out with the Woodlands as well. Took care of Rice University for over 10 years, though. That's kind of my
your bread and butter.
Former student trainer.
Yep. I was a student trainer at Rice University for 4 years. Enjoyed it. Loved it. And then went back as a team physician for 10 years. So I've had on-field experience, I guess. Well, I was in high school. I was a student trainer, too, so since 1978, 34 years.
Any more questions, dislocations?
No, good.
All right, so hopefully, if I have to deal with it again, I'll take what I learned here today and be able to dislocate them within my second track. So hopefully, distract them, get them to relax, and...
In line
traction.
Oh, no, good.
Randy Dugas, passing ISD, Dr. Kevin Koop, and Derek Sweeney from Sweeney High School. That's a wrap for this interview and the morning interview sessions. Thank you.